Hello, and welcome to the teaching ministry of Faith Word Fellowship, where faith in the Word leads to a more intimate fellowship with God. We're excited to bring you this teaching of Mark Roberson, pastor of Faith Word Fellowship, where we're building people of vision, people of valor, and people of victory. Now let's join Pastor Mark as he delivers this week's teaching.
I want to share this with you all. We were talking, and I was asking the different ones what this teaching has been meaning for them. Brother Augustine, all the way in Africa. Hey, y'all got to understand, there's a 7-hour difference. So it's about 2 or 3 in the morning. And this brother is up because he wants to hear the word. Man, that's dedication. That's commitment. He says this, and many of you saw it in the chat, but he wanted to share that for him, when Pastor Mark has been dealing with, he said for him, it's about him stepping into what God has called him to be because, and I like this part, excellence calls you to what you have never been before. Man, that will preach. That will preach. That's it. Excellence calls you to what you have never been before, and excellence prepares you for what you have never been before. I receive that. What a blessing. Man, that is good stuff. I love it. I love it. Glory to God. I'll give Augustine a credit the first time. Hallelujah. And then after that is mine. I like that. I like that, Augustine. Glory to God. All right. Come on, Daniel chapter 6. Let's dive off into tonight's teaching. Praise the name of Jesus. Daniel chapter 6. We're talking about developing an eye for excellence. Developing an eye for excellence. And I'm going to share some things with you tonight that I believe the Spirit of the Lord wants us to hear. Daniel chapter 6. Glory to God. Let me get my stuff together here because I'm going to drop this on you all. Glory to God. I'm not disconnecting from this call without releasing this on you all. Praise God. All right. It pleased Darius, I'm at verse 1, to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. Verse 2, and over these 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first. I like that. Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Verse 3, then this Daniel was preferred. Now, how did he get this preference, this special treatment, or we can say favor? This Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because this favor didn't happen by accident. He got it because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. So this excellent spirit caused Daniel to receive special treatment. It caused Daniel to receive attention from the people who could do something for him. It caused Daniel to receive preference. It caused Daniel, watch this, to receive the opportunity to have authority over a realm that, watch this, he couldn't get any other way. Now, here's the thing that just really blesses me and ministers to my heart. Daniel was a prisoner, a servant, a captive in a war, and come over. He wasn't even in his hometown. He come over, and we'll see this. Why don't you go ahead and flip back to Daniel chapter 1. And when you see this, he could have had the attitude, I'm not doing nothing. This isn't my hometown. Y'all destroyed my home. He didn't have no sour, bitter attitude. And some of us get like that and think that God still is supposed to bless us because we find ourselves in a situation or a circumstance we don't want to be in. or we find ourselves facing something and wonder, well, why did this happen to me? Daniel didn't do anything wrong, but he was captured. And here he is in a foreign country, in a foreign kingdom, and God elevates him. Man, if that's not an anointing, I don't know what is. Being elevated in a foreign country, in a foreign kingdom, with a king that is not your kindred. And this brother is elevated. All right. Watch this. Look at this. Let's start at verse 1. Daniel chapter 1, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. So he captured it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. So he took all their treasure. Look what else, verse 3. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. Verse 4, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding signs, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace. So these were not no vagabonds. These were no lazy people. He wanted them, he said, I want to see if they got a good breed. Can they stand? Can they operate in the king's palace with some decorum? And that's why we've been talking about excellence and developing an eye for excellence, because you got to understand how to get rid of the clutter around you in your sphere of influence, getting rid of the trash and not overlooking it, getting rid of the filth and the dirt and looking at your presentation. And then that's on the external. Then excellence calls for you to deal with your attitude and how you respond to people, how you talk to people, how you look at people, the countenance you wear on your face, your body language, all of that, because all of that is involved in elevation. All right. So he says, look at those who have the ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. So he took them. Now, these are prisoners. Now drop down to verse 17, Daniel chapter 1, verse 17. Watch this. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge. Who did? God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed or talked with them. And among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Now they changed their names to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego later. That was their slaves' name. But watch this. Therefore stood they before the king. Now, they were granted entry into the king's palace. You know who else that makes me think about? Joseph. When his brother sold him as a slave, go and then to Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife lies on him. This is in Genesis 39. And then he goes to jail. Everywhere he went, in Potiphar's house, he was elevated. In jail, instead of getting a sour attitude, instead of having a bad disposition and a bad perspective, how he carried himself, how he conducted himself, he was elevated in the jail over all the other people who were in jail. And then he was promoted to become second in command behind Pharaoh. But here we got Daniel. So we got two main examples of this excellence principle, this excellence law working in their lives. And like Augustine shared with the group, it causes you to become someone you have never been. It causes you to raise your level of operation. But you got to want to. One of the things I'm finding out with Christians, they want kingdom blessings cheap. They don't want to put forth the effort. They don't want to put forth the discipline. They want to be lazy. They just want God to come bless me. And then if God doesn't bless them, then they start saying, well, it must not be his will to bless me. They never look at the effort they're putting forth, the adjustments they need to make. Okay? So look at verse 20 now, Daniel chapter 1, verse 20. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better. Wait. Not 10 times bitter. I'm saying in the name of Jesus that the group that I minister to, that you're going to stop giving in to moments of bitterness. You're going to stop giving in to moments of depression. You're going to stop giving in to moments of discouragement. Why? Because you got the goods. You have something in you that God wants to use around you. He wants you to be a voice in St. Catharines. He wants you to be a voice in Buffalo. But you got to think bigger than you have been. This is not about being religious. This is about being available for the kingdom in your sphere of influence and then giving God the opportunity to even elevate you beyond your sphere of influence. So you don't have to, have the education. You don't have to have the contacts. You don't have to have this or that. All you need to do is operate with glory to God, developing an eye for excellence. We said this. Number one, we said excellence is a level. It's a level. So when we say that it's a level, we're actually saying that the word level means the height of something, or it could be the measure of someone's ability. So by it being a level, by excellence being a level, it means you can grow and move to another place of excellence or operation. And you can reach for this place. And so God wants you to reach for it. So excellence is a level. Two, we said excellence is a law. A law is a principle based upon predictable consequences of an act. In other words, two hydrogens, H2O, two hydrogens, one oxygen equals water, because that is a chemical law. So a law is based on predictable consequences. If I operate in excellence, if I activate the law of excellence, then it automatically, say automatically, it automatically puts me in position for something to happen better in my behalf, because excellence is a law. But like I've always said to you, whatever you accept, you can't take authority over. So watch this. If I accept clutter around me, then how can I take authority when the devil is bringing confusion to me in my sphere of influence? No, he's already blinded me from disorder in my life through the clutter that I've accepted. And so now he uses that as an entryway to come in and bring something else. And many people don't even realize that. They used to say this when I was growing up. They used to say cleanliness is next to godliness. So when I got older, I started looking for a scripture. I couldn't find no scripture that stated that. I haven't. Now, if y'all have, share it with me. Cleanliness is next to godliness. But that is a truth, because there is no clutter in heaven. There is no trash in heaven. There is no filth in heaven. There is no dirtiness in heaven. So the Spirit of God is used to the atmosphere of heaven. And when the Holy Spirit is ministering to you, he's ministering to you based on the environment and the atmosphere he's used to, and not on the environment and the atmosphere you're trying to force him to accept. So we try to force the Holy Spirit to accept our comfort zone when he wants to elevate us instead of allowing us to become a prisoner in our comfort zone. So now you accept clutter. You accept a sink full of dishes. I'll never forget this. Years ago, we weren't even in Buffalo yet. I was an evangelist, and God was just training me. He was teaching me and training me. And one time I was complaining that God, Cheryl won't even get in there and cook me some eggs. And the Lord says, you get in there and cook them yourself. I said, but wait a minute. Because here's my thinking. I'm working outside the house. Cheryl is in the house. And watch what he taught me. He says, so you want to use your position to manipulate her and control her instead of using your position to serve her. Well, I never thought about serving. I thought about, watch this, duty, obligation. Man got duty and obligation. A woman got duty and obligation. So we got to do it. And God was teaching me kingdom. But back then, we're talking about over 30 years ago, it wasn't a lot of people talking about kingdom. That revelation didn't hit the body of Christ like it has now. But God was teaching me, I want you to learn how to serve and not try to control people. I want you to make yourself available. That's the kingdom way. So he had some training in me to do. Then one time he told me, he got on me and said, because there were a sink full of dishes. We weren't even in Buffalo yet. This is way before Buffalo. We weren't even in Buffalo yet. So he said, there was a sink full of dishes. And he said this, Mark, if you can't even take authority over a sink full of dishes, don't think that you'll be able to just go and take authority over a devilish situation or a devil in somebody. I never connected what in the world does a sink full of dirty dishes have to do with taking authority over the devil. I know y'all asking that question too. You ready? You ready? You want to know what it is? What does 1 John 4:20 says God is? It says God is love. And he looked at me taking authority over a sink full of dishes as an act of love, which he was calling an act of God. Listen, you won't get this in Bible school. You won't get this in seminary. This is kingdom. God is love. So he was saying, love me enough to do it. You know what that is called? Sowing seeds of excellence. Sowing seeds of excellence to God as a worship. All right, stay with me. So excellence is a level. Excellence is a law. And then excellence is a lifestyle. In other words, excellence is a disciplined way of always doing things the same way. Now, when you do things the same way, watch this, dear hearts, it becomes a standard. And God wants you to be able to answer this question. What is your standard of excellence in your life? So I didn't realize this, that God is looking for me to raise my standard of excellence. So he said to me, he says, I want you to excel. So raise your level of excellence. Well, I know that that wasn't just for me. That meant he wanted me to teach it. So we got to develop this eye for excellence. We have to, watch this, be on this journey of excellence. And then number four, excellence is a legacy. In other words, it will cause others around you to develop, watch this, an excellence mentality. An excellence mentality. So for example, like when our grandkids come over to our house, they're the same grandkids now. But when they come over to our house and come into our sphere of influence, they operate a certain way. They'll pick up behind themselves. They do certain things because they know me, mom, granddaddy. But here's what we be teaching them. So when we go to the house, we say, wait a minute. You're the same person. So you can't do your mom and dad's house different than you do me, mom, and granddaddy's house. And I was telling them one time, I said, that is not excellence. I said, make a demand of excellence on yourself, because this is not about whose house you're in. It's all about the lifestyle you want to live. So let me show you this, because you got to see this. This brother, Daniel, was a slave. Now, go with me in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 5. And so he was operating this way, and when you operate in excellence, it'll begin speaking for you. Other people will speak in your behalf and cause some things to happen for you. Now, here's the thing about Christians, some Christians, not all, but some Christians. They think, for example, they think you ought to be happy if I show up at church. You ought to be glad I'm there. And they don't care how, you know, their approach. They don't care how they look. Excuse me. They don't care if they participate or not. They don't care if they are a part of the solution of the church going to another level. You ought to just be there. Happy I'm there. So they're just like a piece of furniture. That same approach is what they do on their job. You ought to be glad I'm here. Now, wait a minute. Remember, you applied for the job. You said God blessed you with the job. So now, because it's a blessing from God, there is a level and measure of excellence you're supposed to operate at. But Christians don't think that way. You ought to be glad. I'm doing my job. I'm doing this. And how they carry themselves. But that's not how Daniel did. Look at this. Daniel chapter 5. Watch this. Let's start at verse number. Now, what had happened was the king. Well, I got. Let me just read it to you. Let's start at verse one. I'm not gonna read all of them. I'm just gonna show you what happened and then drop down some verses. Daniel chapter 5, verse 1. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords. How many people? 1,000. And drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. So they had all of the treasure that they got from the people of God when they captured them. So they brought all of these in. Now, look at verse 5. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed and his knees smote one against another. This brother was scared. Now, what had happened was, in his great feast, over 1,000 people there, this hand just appeared and started writing on the wall. All right? So, verse 8 now. I'm jumping because I don't want to read all of this. Verse 8. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. So it bothered the king. Now you read this in your own time. Verse 9. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now, I wanted to get to verse 10. Watch what the queen does. This brother's trouble. This hand, not an arm, just a hand from the wrist to the fingers, and started writing on the wall. What would you do if that happened? It scared this brother. It scared him so much. It affected this brother's insides, everything in his joints, his body. Everything was affected. And he had to find out. You would want to find out too. Listen, as saved as you are, let that happen in your house. Jesus. As spirit-filled as you are, let that happen in your house. But anyway, come on, come back. I'm just having some fun. Look at verse 10. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house. And the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom, watch this, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Now watch what she says. Verse 12, for as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same, who's this brother? Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he'll show you the interpretation. I say to you, my brothers and sisters, that God is waiting on you to approach your job that way, that the higher up, the big wigs, hear about you, no matter what your position is, they hear about you and say that there is something that needs to be solved. And because of the spirit of excellence upon you, you got the answer. And you can come with that answer. But see, we don't think like that. Because many Christians, they're on a job only for a paycheck. They just give me my paycheck. And I'll do my time. I'll do whatever. It's like they're in jail. I'll do my time. And you just give me. No. You have kingdom influence. They're supposed to be able to come to you and you give them a solution to help that company advance in the name of Jesus, to the glory and honor of God. That's we got to understand what we're for. And that's what Daniel did. Now, go with me to Isaiah chapter 59. Watch this. So I share it with you that excellence is mandated by God. He's looking for people who will operate at a superior level. And it's not difficult once you get your mind on it. Put this down in your notes. Excellence should be intentional all the time. Excellence should be intentional. Excellence should be intentional. So I'm going to look at things in my sphere of influence. I'm going to look at in the car that I drive and look around. I'm not going to have trash in my car. Why? An excellent spirit. I'm going to look at, I think I shared with you already, how my man of God, my spiritual mentor, he challenged pastors. And he got over 1,000 pastors. He challenged them. You know what his challenge was? He said, Pastor, I want you to go to your closet. And if your closet is not in order and structure, you need to take authority of your closet. He says, you're talking about advancing in the kingdom and you can't even take authority of a closet. And this was years ago. This was even before COVID when he challenged us. Man, at that time, my closet was jacked up. But, you know, me and Sherwood, at that time, we didn't have the big walk-in closet like we got now. It was a real small closet. And here we were, Krishan and Mario and the grandkids had moved in. And so now a lot of space where Cheryl's clothes were, she had to bring her clothes in my closet. And everything was just, it was a mess. It was disorganized. Well, now we couldn't use that as an excuse. Why? Excellence. And that's what my man of God was trying to get me to see. It was you got to operate in excellence. Instead of using excuses, you heard Kathy say that. I'm not going to use excuses. And my brothers and sisters, watch this. Excuses rob you of the benefits excellence brings you. Come on, write it down. Write it down. Excuses rob you of the benefits excellence brings you. One more time. Excuses rob you of the benefits excellence brings you. Wow. And that's why I share with you in this teaching already how excellence causes success acceleration. Excellence speaks in your absence. Excellence summons attention. Excellence is a source of attraction. Excellence causes you to have a superior appearance. Excellence is about sovereign accountability. Excellence is a spiritual attribute. You got to have this standard. I remember I don't believe they mind me sharing this. Ministering to Herb and Stephanie one time and just believing with them for their company. And I just brought up this word. Some things had occurred. And my question was simply this. I said, Herb, what's the standard? What's the standard? What's the standard of the company? Because see, whatever standard we establish, then that lets everyone underneath us understand we don't accept compromise. We don't accept you veering and doing your own thing and what have you. And so we share some things and we share some wisdom and we'll believe in God with them. But that's always a question I want y'all to understand. What's my standard? So it's whether I'm a business owner, is whether I'm in a ministry, is whether I'm a pastor, is whether I'm a parent. It's what's your standard? Is your standard for in the house for kids to eat on dishes and then leave them right where they were eating? Is that your standard? What's your standard? Because that is your measure of excellence in that sphere of influence that God has blessed you with. A lot of Christians are talking about new level, new level, new level. You want to go to the next level. How are you operating in excellence at the level you're currently on? All right, watch this. I told you Isaiah 59. Yeah, I got a few moments. Watch this. Here's a very familiar verse. Isaiah 59, verse 19. I'm going to read it from the King James Bible. You follow me. Just this one verse. It says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Here's my question. What's the standard that the Spirit of God lifts up against the enemy coming in? What is that standard? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Think with me. Because if it's the Spirit of the Lord, then he's going to use the people of God who have established this standard. He's going to use the people of God against this enemy coming in. You got to understand, God is not going to do something apart from you. He's going to do it in partnership with you. What's your standard? Do Do you have a standard of excellence that the Spirit of God can lift up against a satanic attack? Or with you, is it like this? Anything goes. Okay, sarah, sarah, whatever will be, will be. That'll do. It's okay. That's okay. So if I'm sloppy in my natural life, I will be sloppy in my spiritual life. And there's a lot of people, they hear me teach on faith. They try to use faith principles and they don't understand that faith is a lifestyle. And that lifestyle is incorporated in excellence. God says, seek that you may excel. So I didn't even do this. Let me do this before I finish reading Isaiah 59:19. I didn't give you my definition of excellence. You remember this? Excellence is defined as a level of superior, uncompromised living, where there is an attention to detail that causes superior performance and quality presentation that glorifies God, bringing promotion and increase. Excellence is defined as a level of superior, uncompromised living where there is an attention to detail that causes superior performance and quality presentation that glorifies God, bringing promotion and increase. Tonight, I want you to get this as we look at Isaiah 59:19. I want you to look at this part of the definition that excellence has this attention to detail. You don't get nothing else tonight. You got to get this, this attention to detail. Now, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against them. A lot of Christians think that God is going to do something outside of them and he's going to come against the devil coming against them. No, no. God is in you. He's in you. This standard comes from within you, how you've been living, how you've been operating, what you have established. So I wrote this down for you. Put this down in your notes. Excellence is a standard. Excellence is a standard. Now, when we define the word standard, a standard is something set up or established by an authority as a rule for the measure of quantity, weight, extent, value, or quality. Standard. When you define the word standard, it is something set up or something that's established by an authority. Well, who's your authority? God. So you have to look at this now, and this is how I had to approach this. Looking at my life, I thank God for Pastor Cheryl because she has helped me and assisted me in raising my level of standard. Because I have this laid-back personality, and my comfort zone it governed everything I did. And here I am coming into ministry. This is years ago. Here I am coming into ministry, and I still got this laid-back approach to life, laid-back approach to the things of God. And Cheryl would tell me, "No, that won't go. No, no, that'll not do. No." People see you now, and that helped me raise my level of excellence, the standard that I minister by. That's what. Why am I so consistent like I am? My standard of excellence. I wasn't always like this. Why is my conviction so strong? Why my commitment? Throughout, regardless of what happens, regardless of the attack, anyone who have ever seen me minister or been part of my ministry, they know that brother is committed. They cannot deny that. Well, that's a standard of excellence toward God for the kingdom. So excellence is a standard. A standard is a level of quality or action. Your standard is what you, your standard is what you're measured by. Your standard is what you are measured by. Excellence is a standard. So put this down in your notes. Let's look at what establishes my standard. Because when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up or lift up a standard against him. This standard comes from within the child of God. What establishes your standard? Number one, commitment. Commitment. You have to be committed to do the small things instead of just looking to do the big things. So sometimes that commitment is picking up behind yourself. That commitment, God will bring something to your attention. See, your standard of excellence is defined by how you give yourself to this attention to detail. Things God will bring to your attention. It's amazing to me how some Christians go to church and they say, I got a word for the Lord for so-and-so. But they can't hear the Lord tell them about their own personal life. That always has amazed me. How can they do that? You telling me God ain't speaking to you? That's okay? How you're living or how you're doing? No, no. Sometimes I want to say, you telling me that God didn't tell you that how you dressed this morning, this was not appropriate for public viewing? People are crazy, but they want to be spiritual. And you have to understand that anything won't do. No, you're raising your level of excellence. So no more will you be wearing a wrinkled shirt. No, I'm going to be committed to establishing a standard of excellence. So I'm going to look at myself before I leave the house. And if the shirt is wrinkled, it can't go. You know, I was, since I've been teaching on this excellence, and I was laughing. I made Pastor Cheryl laugh about this. I was getting dressed Sunday, and I pulled out a pair of slacks, bumped them with iron, and I said, man, I can't wear this. Look at this small stain right here. I said, no, this won't fly. Now, nobody else will see it, but I saw it. Attention to detail. So put set them aside, got another pair of slacks, and just finished ironing them, got them all right. And they looked, I said, man, where did this little spot come from? Nobody will see it, but I saw it. Attention to detail. I said, that won't fly. Two pairs of slacks. Nope. Can't do it. Third one. I said, you better do it because I'm tired of this ironing business. But it's about this attention to detail. See, you're going to commit to it because it's this commitment that establishes your standard. See, wherever there is no commitment, there will always be compromise. Come on, write it down. Wherever there is no commitment, there will always be compromise. So if I'm a compromise over a stain on my slacks, then I'm also compromised with the devil infiltrating my territory. Oh, yeah, that's how it works. Listen, dear hearts. Private practice determines public performance. Let me say that again. Private practice determines public performance. How you operate in private, behind closed doors, when nobody is seeing you, will determine how you function in public. And there are a lot of people who try to perform publicly, watch this, with no power. They got form, but no power. Why? Because their private practice is weak. It doesn't generate power for public performance. So they may have heard, for example, in public, you might hear a word from God, because we are the body of Christ. You following me? But it does not mean that you are supposed to be the one to release it because of what you have not been doing with your private practice. That's why in 1 Corinthians 14, it says, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet, meaning you can control yourself. You don't have to say it. And then it says, if a word, this is in 1 Corinthians 14, if a word comes to a prophet, let him be silent and let another one speak. But in many churches, it's not like that. I got the word. I got the word. Private practice determines public performance. So God is looking at, how do you respond to your attention to detail? Where's your commitment at? Where's that commitment at? And then number two. So the first one is commitment that establishes your standard. The second one is consistency. Consistency, being consistent with this thing. Within consistency lies the power. So a lot of times when I'm teaching and what I share, and I share this with Pastor Shaw all the time, I said, I'm not teaching to impress people. I'm not teaching to inform people. I said, what I teach them, this is my life. God reveals to me where I am because I want to see more of Jesus in my life. I want to please Jesus more with my life. I want to grow in Jesus more. I said, and so whether anybody listens, I'm still consistent with this thing. And that's why it comes out so strong. Because I'm not fake with it. So there's commitment that establishes your standard, consistency that establishes your standard. And then number three, confession, how you talk, what comes out of your mouth. Because you control that. You control what you say. You do. Not even God will control what you say, because God has made you an authority figure on earth. So your confession is important. And it amazes me, some of the things that come out of Christians' mouth, and they feel justified. They feel justified in how they speak to loved ones. They feel justified in how they talk to themselves. They feel justified in talking negative. They feel justified in what they call a circumstance. Instead of taking authority, they give that circumstance the power to make them feel down, be down, act down. No. You know, make a note of this scripture. You don't have to turn there unless you want to. Ephesians chapter 4. I feel led to read this one. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says this. Very familiar verse. Ephesians 4, verse 29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. What? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. That means that what comes out of my mouth is supposed to minister grace and favor to the people who hear it. And it says, let it be for the use of edifying. It's supposed to build people up. You want to know how often some Christians talk to maybe to another Christian and don't build them up and they feel justified? You can't do that. That's Bible. That's Bible. Let no corrupt communication, Ephesians 4, 29. Let none corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. And then watch verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit. So right after he talks about what comes out of your mouth, he says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And many Christians are grieving the Holy Spirit with how they talk to others. You know, some wives are they mean well, but they don't watch their mouth. And they'll say things like this. This just come to my mind, so I don't have nobody in mind. It's just coming to my heart. They'll say things, and they'll say, they'll tell their husband, you don't love me, do you? Now, is that edifying that brother? No. Is that encouraging? No. Now, you're so in doubt. You don't love me. Who would say that? A Christian? But they feel justified. A husband will put down his wife and feel justified. Who made you Lord over this woman? You can't do that and think that God's going to trust you with his anointing. Your standard of excellence is too small. So number one is commitment. Number two is consistency. Number three is confession. Then number four is concepts. Concepts. What do you mean concepts? How you think? Thoughts and ideas that you allow to come into your mind. What are you really entertaining in your thought life? What thoughts are you dwelling on that the Word of God and the Spirit of God are not in agreement with? Romans 12:2, you know this. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I got to redo that. God is not going to do that for me. That you be by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So I get to demonstrate the will of God when I take authority over my mind for God. Concepts, thoughts, ideas that come to my mind that I'm implementing. This is how you establish your standard. And then finally, covenant. What covenant are you living by? What covenant are you establishing in your life? What covenant have you made your reality? Just because somebody said they're a Christian does not mean that they're living by the covenant of God. We can see that many don't even live by the covenant of love, which is the kingdom principle. What covenant are you living by? See, so commitment, consistency. And I'm out of time. Commitment, consistency, confession, concepts, and covenant are what establishes your standard. Excellence is a standard. So when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord is going to look for you, the child of God, and pull from you a standard that he can raise against the enemy's attack, so that that joker can be defeated. God does not want you to lose in your family. God does not want you to lose in your physical body. God don't want you to lose in that neither. God doesn't want you to lose because of mental anguish and mental depression. And so now you got to take these pills and for that because antidepressants. No, man. The Spirit of God want to pull from you the standard he wants to raise against the enemy coming in. So the adversary will understand that at this house or on this street or in this city, you're off limits because we have established a standard of excellence that we live by and govern everything we do by in the name of Jesus. Come on, put those hands together. Give God some praise. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I look forward to being with my group Sunday as we build on this. But I want you to know you have to develop an eye for excellence. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up your people tonight. I pray that I said what you wanted said, did what you wanted done, used illustrations and examples like you wanted me to establish this spiritual truth in the hearts and minds of your people. Now, Father, I'm asking you to supernaturally touch them. Daddy, in these days and in this time that we're living in, we need the supernatural. And we understand that the supernatural is not going to work apart from us. It's going to work in concert with us. We are a supernatural people. Help us to flow supernaturally, to think supernaturally, to want to operate and move supernaturally, and help us to have this expectation and this faith to always believe for the supernatural. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for each one who's connected on tonight and their area of influence. I thank you that people who need answers, their solution is in the bosom and in the heart of those that are on this call tonight. Father, we're carrying miracles in our mouths for others. Help us to become aware of that so that we won't live selfish lives. We won't live narrow-minded lives, but we'll understand we're here for others because we are the light of the world and we are the salt of the earth. I give you praise and thanksgiving, Father, for all that you're doing in us, with us, for us, to us, and upon us. In Jesus' name, and all God's people say amen.
We truly hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Mark Roberson of Faith Word Fellowship. Please visit us at one of our two locations. If you're in Buffalo, New York, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship International. And if you're in the St. Catharines, Ontario, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship Canada. To learn more about Faith Word Fellowship or to contact Pastor Mark, or to even access other teachings by Pastor Mark, please visit us at www.faithwordfellowship.org. And always remember, one word from God and you will never be the same again.